Justin Kaufman, it's the download taking over for the White Sox game. Wow, what a game. 5 hours plus, 5 hours, 48 minutes, Rob. That was a crazy game, extra inning loss for the White Sox. But you know what? Things like that happen early in the season. But a tremendous game, an exciting one early in the season.
I made it through, Justin.
You made it through?
They had to poke me a few times, but I made it.
Thanks, Rob. It's a download 720 WGN. Justin Kaufman here for a truncated show. We thought for sure we'd have a full 4 hour show tonight. And unfortunately, for White Sox fans, they did not get the victory tonight in the 14-inning extra inning loss to the A's. The A's sweep the White Sox. But we had a whole plan. I've already had to send two different guests home tonight. Because the green room was crowded. Professor Al Genie, we had a great, we were going to do a whole conversation on do you have to be great to be a great leader? And we were going to talk about the great man theory of the 19th century philosopher. This is going to be a whole thing, man. I did a lot of work on that. I read a lot of philosophy today, Pete. And I had to send the old man home. Adie Quigg was here. She actually looked relieved. Today was a huge day when it comes to city council. And, of course, Cook County Board President Tony Preckwinkle becoming the Cook County Democrat head, essentially the head of the organization. And so she had a lot of writing to do for the Daily Line. So she was not that upset when I said, I don't know, if Matt Olson grounds out, we might have maybe? A lot of that. There was a lot of, in the green room, just in the last hour and a half, we should have put a microphone on me doing all the theories on when we can get the show. Maybe right here, if Yolmer Sanchez, if he can drive this run in? This is classic. So we start the show. So tonight, Swap Meet's on, 10 o'clock. Greg Phelan will be here. This, of course, our great Wednesday night segment where you have the memorabilia, you have the collectibles, you have the junk, and we tell you if it's worth anything. Greg comes in. And, of course, the new wrinkle, I will give you a pizza. I have a pizza, Lou Malnati's pizza, for the best brag. I forgot who won last week. We had, I do remember the week before was the Vanilla Iced signed t-shirt. The week before that was Rostenkowski's cufflinks. One of my faves, so great. We had a Stephen Gary VHS that won 1 week. So we got a lot of great stuff. 312-981-7200. That's coming up in the 10 o'clock hour. Columbia College graduate. Very excited to have one half of the Interns, which is a music production duo out of L.A. They produce hits, top 40 hits. They produce for Rihanna. They produce for Big Sean. They produce for Nicki Minaj, who just announced to be the musical guest on Saturday Night Live. And both of them are from Columbia College, from Chicago. They moved out to L.A. and they became, they're the guys that make the beats. And we'll talk with Cosine, who is one half of the Interns and also a host on BET's Man Cave. That's coming up at 9:30. So got a great show lined up, so why don't we just get to it. Coming up this Saturday night, Governor State University will turn into a blues club or a hip-hop club or a poetry slam. Crossover of sorts. The Blues Hip Hop Experience will be at the Center for the Performing Arts at Governor State University in Southland. This is a show that aims to show how much the blues, a very Chicago art form, informs hip hop and younger generations of artists. Grammy Award nominated blues musician Billy Branch will perform and pay tribute to some of the greats like Coco Taylor and poet Gwendolyn Brooks, but also performances by a bunch of one-time download guests. It's like a who's who of people who've been on this program. MC FM Supreme, poet Jose Olivares, Avery Young. Is there? Yeah, he's a Studio 435 guy. And my next guest, longtime award-winning journalist, Sylvia Ewing.
Hey, hey.
Ewing is no stranger to Chicago. She's not only performing in this show on Saturday, but she put it together, which doesn't surprise me because I've worked with Sylvia for many years and produced radio and television here in town. She was a producer for Chicago Tonight. At one point, the voice of WTTW, whenever Check Please would come on. And you see, if you want more information about Check Please, it was Sylvia's voice. Sylvia Ewing, one of my favorite people on the planet. We all know her children, Eve and Matt. Eve was just here with her new book of poetry. She continues to be one of Chicago's best writers. But she learned everything from her mom, Sylvia Ewing. Welcome to the Download.
Thank you. Thank you. From her mom and Uncle Justin.
Uncle Justin. Yeah. I told Eve when she was here, I'm like, I remember you doing your homework at your desk.
That's right.
We'd
that's
be
right.
Trying to figure out who the guest was on the next day's morning show.
Yeah.
Talk about this. I know this because this is something that you have really, as a project, when it comes to the blues and the blues hip-hop experience. You've been working on this for a while.
Yeah, and the last time we did it, I think it was about 12 years ago. We did it first at WBEZ. Maybe prior to that, we had done a little fundraiser in Wicker Park just to see what we could do. We did it at Steppenwolf. And when you work with blues artists and hip-hop artists, you have to take a little rest for a while.
12 years.
So, I had a little rest for a while, and now we have some amazing entertainment. And listen, Justin, it's family friendly. Just don't bring any crying babies.
No crying babies.
But other than that, you know, it's very family friendly.
So my kids can go, but I can't.
Absolutely.
Too much. I'll start tearing up.
You're a cryhead. You know you're a cryhead. I was your office mate.
Well, what attracts you to the blues? What is it about this? What makes you go back? Because I've always known you as somebody who has been a producer who will move from project to project to project.
Yep.
Why come back to the blues?
Yeah, you're right. And you do know that about me. I'm an Aries. My attention span is short. But I think this is America's music, and this is music that really speaks to me personally. And it's also music, though, that people from my African-American community, middle-class folks back in the day were like, nah, you know, that's country. You know, that's slavey time. That's nobody. We're George Jefferson moving on up. Nobody wants the blues. But this music really is America's first, roots music that so much has grown from. And it has a lot in common with hip hop.
Yeah.
And Billy Branch, that's my boy, Billy Branch.
He was here, yeah.
You know, he is a graduate in political science. And we both, along with each and every artist in this ensemble, we care about the legacy. We care about authenticity. We care about bringing people together, but we also care about claiming this and saying, you know, Chicago has a place in history.
Yeah. And I just wonder, because it's at the crux of what this show is all about, but this concept of trying to get a younger generation to recognize what came before and to make the actual connection that hip hop and a lot of the art forms that are today, that are newer art forms, they come from somewhere, and a lot of times they come from the blues.
Yeah, I mean, this is why our cast goes, you know, from younger to like, you know, almost 70. And the first time we did the show, it was like from 16 to 70. And we believe in working across generations. Young people will learn when you give them a place at the table, an equal place. And I take my hat off to Billy Branch, because he respects young artists. You know, not many people would open up their sort of artistic portfolio and say, come on, Sylvia, bring all those kids.
Or maybe they might treat, because they've been around long enough, they treat them like students.
That's right. That's right. Or they give them like sort of a token place.
Right.
But everybody's got a spot. You know, I was raised, Justin, that young people should be seen and listened to, but you better have something to say and you better articulate when you get the spot.
Yeah, right.
And, you know, Billy and I, he's like Uncle Billy. And I'm, you know, Mama Sylvia. And we don't play, but, you know, we have an amazing group of people who are ready to just, you know, make this happen. You mentioned Matt. Let us say that as an artist, he senses, like he has some sense, like common sense. But anyway, you know, he and Billy have a special piece. My hair is a little gray because we've been working on this for a while.
So they're going to do the piece this
They're
going
to do a piece together.
Great.
You
awesome.
Know, so it's all going to be fun, and all your
Branch.
Favorite people are going to be there.
The show's called The Blues Hip Hop Experience. It's going to be at the Center for the Performing Arts at Governor State University in Southland this Saturday. We'll take a quick break. Sylvia Ewing, who's a producer and also will be performing. I want to know more about what you're doing in the show. Sylvia is my guest tonight. Stay with us. It's Download 720 WGN. I'm Justin Kaufman. My guest in studio, Sylvia Ewing, longtime award-winning journalist. And I don't even call you journalist anymore. I call you event producer because you do so many great things around Chicago and you're involved in, you have so many different projects. The Blues Hip Hop Experience is the, I would say the latest, but it's a throwback. You've done this one before.
Yeah.
The Blues Hip Hop Experience will be at the Center for the Performing Arts at Governor State University in Southland this Saturday. Billy Branch, Sylvia, poet Jose Olivares, who was just in here, FM Supreme, who's great. Like I said, Avery Young, great, great performers, Chicago performers, who will be at Governor State University this Saturday. What makes a great show? What makes a great stage show, Sylvia?
You know, it's fun because when we talk about my history, I have worked on different platforms, events, internet, whatever. And to me, story and passion and a narrative arc are really equal no matter what platform you're working in. But with the stage, you also want to add production values. And I got a little spoiled working at a little place called Steppenwolf Theater.
Yeah, right.
During the year when Tracy Letts won the Pulitzer and we won a Tony, and it was crazy, you know, to be in that environment. And the people there were amazing in terms of their fidelity to vision, their fidelity to the artist. It was like the artist is all, and they have the resources to make that happen.
A lot of times what you've worked on, and I've known your career, when you're doing, when journalists or television or radio production, when they go to stage, you're not necessarily getting stage performers. You're getting people who are comfortable behind a mic or maybe behind a set, and then, you know, and you find it harder to loosen them up and move. So I would assume that you learned a lot from working at Steppenwolf with people who dedicated it to the craft of being on stage.
Well, I did, and Justin, even going back to the work that we did together, you know, if we didn't like something, we could edit it.
Right.
We had training from like Ira's producer, Ira Glass, This American Life. You know, we could like cut stuff out in television. Move that smile from here to there. I don't like that smile. I don't like that smile. Put that smile here. And, you know, the late Martha Levy taught me the artist is all. So I could produce something to within an inch of its life in advance. And then that feeling of having to just sit and it was out of my hands and into the hands of, you know, the very capable people on the team. That was hard for me and also amazing. The other thing was that sense of, you know, on a bad day on Chicago Tonight, we might reach 35,000. On a bad day on radio, I don't know,
sure,
you know, 25.
Yeah.
You know, the maximum number of people would be like 712 or something. And I'm like, what's this? you know, what's this mean? But the feeling of the one time only. One time only, and it is curated by who sits next to you. That's amazing.
What have you learned from doing a show like the Blues Hip Hop Experience, to do it several times, to do it even with the breaks in between, but to do it in different places, different spaces? When you are going to, you know, turn the lights on and open the doors and start the Blues Hip Hop Experience this weekend, what would be different? What have you learned from the experience of doing this show a couple of times?
Well, you know, I've learned that people are really sensitive to labeling. So, I mean, this is, I like to work across everything. I'm interested in marketing and graphics, etc. So we had one flyer that a good designer friend had laid out, and it said the Blues Hip Hop Poetry Performance, blah, blah, blah. Under the Blues, there's a picture of me and Billy, and under Hip Hop, there was a bunch of other people. Folks actually called the box office and said, well, was there only sort of two people's worth of blues and like eight people,
you know,
eight people's
poster.
Worth of, so, you know, like making things super accessible for people.
Yeah.
And then this time, we're just going to come out the box showing who we are. The song that we did for the finale, we're going to do a little bit at the start and do it as a finale again, but to show people what this looks like when you combine it. Because in 12 years, people have, you know, done hacks and mashups, you know, more than they had when we first came up with this concept.
What are you going to do? What are you doing this show?
Well, first of all, I'm going to do a song, a poem by that little-known poet, Eve Ewing.
Sure. I've heard a lot of
Coco
good things.
Taylor. Yes, yeah, you heard of her. Piece. I heard of her. you know, we worked with Coco at Steppenwolf, and she was amazing. She was somebody who Muddy Waters said, that little girl can sing. And to be in this misogynistic male, you know, hard, rough environment, and to be kind, human, gracious, and a good mom. You know, that stuff's amazing. She did have, like, this Rod Stewart wig, but that's another story when we did a show. But, you know, like, she was phenomenal, and she was so Chicago. So I am proud that something in our DNA made my child write this poem about Coco Taylor that's also kind of Afrofuturist. So I will read that. And Jose, you know, he's coming for Kevin Koval, and he's going to be amazing. I like to do the next generation. You know, I like the next generation of folks. So he'll do poetry. And then we've got some surprises. We've got some mashups. We've got, like, Avery could be James Brown meets, I don't know, Muddy Waters, right? So we've just got a plan that the whole family, except, again, the crying babies.
Yeah.
The good babies can come. The crying babies have to stay home.
Yeah, you check know, but, the ID at the door.
Yeah, it's for everybody. I have somebody looking at them. No, you know, it's not a Trump thing, but no, crying babies.
Sarah,
you know, you got to have better karma than that.
That's the one thing you can't control as a producer is the crying babies. So they got to go.
Yeah, they got to go.
How does it feel for you to see your family grow up? You know, I think about your kids, and Eve was so, she was so well-spoken, and she did, I see her nonstop in so many different places. She was on this show, great writer, but the interview, she had so many great thoughts about
what's
happening.
She was in Oprah in April.
She was in Oprah magazine. I mean, you know, Matt is the artist sense. I mean, it's amazing. These kids have grown up and are giving, they're contributing to who we are as Chicagoans.
Well, thank you, Justin. There's a few things. I have a super serious philosophy about all of this. I believe that children have all of the rights and responsibilities of living in a community. So they should be invited everywhere. Like Maggie Daly believed that. You know, they should be downtown. They should be everywhere, all up in everybody's face. But they should also have the responsibilities to do, you know, the things that they need to do as productive contributors to the community. And I took my kids everywhere. I was a single mom. I volunteered for way too much stuff. I was sick of being the only black mom at this and that and blah, blah, blah. And I was resentful and cranky, but I did it all. But they saw, you know, I never worked anywhere where my children weren't invited. So I also give credit to people like you, you know, to Richard Steele, you know, to, you know, John Calloway. I give credit to Harold Ramis, you know, Coco, all of these folks who helped me raise my children. And that's how we grow the next generation. And to me, that's what sustainability means. You know, like who's on next? Who's on deck? And I did my part. And when I was a adjunct professor at Columbia, and I would get to like, oh my God, we want you because you're a black teacher. And I'm like, oh my God, you know, I can't take all the pressure. Then I'm like, I grew my replacement. Don't guilt me. You know, I grew a replacement for myself. So my work is done.
Your work is done. Well, you can see several generations on display at the Blues Hip Hop Experience at the Center for the Performing Arts at Governor State University this Saturday in Southland. Billy Branch will be there. Jose Billy Olivares, Gwendolyn, or honoring greats like Coco Taylor and poet Gwendolyn Brooks.
Yep.
Sylvia Ewing is the producer, and she will be performing in the show. Great to see you, as always.
Thank you.
Thanks for coming down here on this rainy day, and and thanks for being my guest on the download.
You're my guy. Take care. Come on.
Welcome back to the download here on 720 WGN. I'm Justin Kaufman. Well, my next guest is a triple threat, a music producer, a radio host, and a television personality. Marcos Palacios, better known as Cosign, is one half of the famed music producing duo Da Interns, who have worked with some of the biggest names in music like Rihanna, Big Sean, Nicki Minaj, just to name a very few. He's a multi-Grammy nominated and multi-platinum music producer. Cosign also hosts his own show on Apple Beats and is the co-host of the popular talk show BET's Man Cave. Just wrapped up their season. Cosine grew up in the Chicago area. He went to Columbia College, a young talent making Chicago proud. Cosine in studio tonight on Download. Cosine, thanks for being here. Nice to meet you.
There's no way you're talking about me.
Right?
Whoever you just described, that guy sounds awesome.
When did you realize that? Let's talk about the music first. When did you realize you had a gift to produce music, to produce beats, to be a musical person?
I always kind of knew something was in there because my mom was the most encouraging woman ever to walk the earth, and she gassed me. I was 100% gassed from every angle by my mom. You know what I'm saying? She told me that I had to be careful. She cursed me out with the same level of passion when I went left, when I was supposed to go right. And so I always knew there was something in there. But just, you know, over time, I just listen to my friends. I play my music and I look at the reaction and I judge off of that. And when people say, yo, I can't get this song out of my head that you played mm-hmm. for me 2 weeks ago, bro. Like, and it's like, really? Because I forgot I even did that.
You went to Columbia College here in Chicago. And I'm interested because you went for music production, but you also did music business.
Yeah.
Were you driven enough as a young man at 2003, 2004, to understand that what you're doing now is what you wanted to do then?
I didn't understand, but I was fearless. I started Columbia 2 weeks after my mother passed away at 20 years old. So I was in the most volatile, lonely, confused, hurt, heartbroken state of life, my world. I now lived in a 3-bedroom home in Broadview, Illinois by myself, you know, and I didn't want the inheritance. I didn't want the attention. I just wanted my mom back. And now I'm at Columbia. There's 80 people in this class. And I got this guy named Kimo Williams saying, hey, look, it's crazy that they give me 8 of you every semester because I know 40 of you are going to fail, guaranteed. And I'm like, this dude doesn't even know that, Mom. He's in. And you know what? If I'm lucky, maybe one of these students I can send to the semester in LA program. Maybe if I'm lucky, 3 years later, one of you guys will go. And 3 years later, I was the guy. I was at Columbia. You know, I'm paying for college out of my own pocket now. So I'm not I'm not wasting mommy and daddy's money. I didn't even want to go to college. My mom said, I'm not going to be here with you, but you better get this degree, man. My job as a parent is done when you graduate. So I graduated on May 14, 2006, Mother's Day, and spoke at the UIC Pavilion and dedicated my degree to my mom.
That's great.
You know, so that was a Grammy win for me in my heart right out the gate.
Right.
Before any hits.
You said at one point, life is about rewriting your script. And the quote that came from a TED Talk that you were doing is, if my worst nightmare could come true, so could my wildest dream.
There you go. So out the gate, it was just like, all right, father, took my queen. I don't understand this one, but I trust you still, you know. And he was like, all right, just stay in the race. Stay in the race.
I mentioned some of the artists you've worked with, and that's just such a small sample size of people that you've produced for. When you made the jump, got out of Columbia College and said, you know what, I'm going to be a professional in this business, you moved to Los Angeles. How does one get into music producing and end up with Nicki Minaj and Big Sean?
You're skipping a step.
I'm skipping a step. What's the step?
You rushing through the 30
for
30.
We don't have all night, right?
The Netflix story. I started teaching at Columbia. So at 23 after graduation, Kimo said, don't feel like you got to rush to L.A. and sign that dumbass contract. Not that one. If you want to figure it out for a second, you can teach here. Teach what? Make up the class, Coase. What do you want to teach? I want to teach hip-hop beat making. Cool. And I'll give you another class called Producing Recorded Music 3. I'll teach Producing Recorded Music 4. And by the time they get out of here, they might know something. Cool. So those 2 years of being a 23-year-old, 24-year-old college professor, I got nice. Because I wanted my students to believe in me, but I didn't have any hits.
Right.
So I just wanted to beat their ass musically every week. Hey, this is what I did last night. I don't know what you guys are doing. You're probably doing your homework, but I was in the studio with Woo Boop Boop Bop locally, and this is what I did. And they'll be like, professor, you know what I mean? And that was like my reward system. And I would learn so much from them and their techniques that by the time I got to L.A., we took so many stairs that by the time it got to Big Sean, that was just like, wow. But it was in the trenches building up the skill set. You know what I mean?
When you're building up the skill set, a lot of that has to do with confidence. It has to do with, like you said, being fearless. In the world of music production, when you're working with some of the most talented people who they're coming to you saying, what do you have? I need it right now. Let me hear what you have. This is the moment. Right. Tell me, how do you prepare yourself for that kind of lifestyle?
That's when you have a partner by the name of Ernest 2-0 Clark, the SVP of Def Jam. who had that faith of a mustard seed, who could see the vision when I start panicking. Because me, I hit the panic button. Come on, we ain't did the, they ain't did the deal. They don't like the beat. What do you mean birthday cake is a snippet? See, I'm going back to Columbia. No, because Columbia paid me every 2 weeks, fam.
Right.
And two would be like, nah, we got this, man. We gonna make it, bro. Trust me. What we gotta do is we gotta. And that was my Puff Daddy in the group. That was the guy who didn't play all the instruments but knew about the cool of it. You know what I'm saying? It's a part of the process, you know?
A lot of people don't recognize it, too, when you're talking about the role of a music producer. Mm-hmm. There is a lot of hurry up and wait. There's a lot of times where you may produce something great for, like I said, for Big Sean or for Rihanna.
Christina Aguilera.
And then you got to wait 6 months to get your next gig.
I'm walking around with Christina Aguilera tracks that I listen to. My sister listens to unreleased music from some of the biggest names in music, and it's a curse. And I call it my laptop cemetery. All I want to do is get these songs off my damn laptop cemetery because they're too good. They're too good. But if Christina ain't ready to drop an album, guess who got to wait? My ass. I got to wait. So that's why I've been releasing music this year. I release a song a month, you know, and you can just put Cosign and Apple Music.
I know. It's great stuff. But do you find yourself, do you like that concept? Do you like, as a music producer, putting your own name on it?
It's a changing of the guard.
Yeah.
You know, my whole time, my whole career, all I've done is give, give, give. I'm a producer. What do you want? What song you got to go on tour with? What you want to be your next single? What's the next feel? Who hasn't given you? All I did was give. Now it's time for me to put myself first. And I'm looking at other guys. I'm looking at like DJ Khaled. I'm looking at Kate Trinata. I'm looking at Calvin Harris.
Right.
You know, these guys are producers. Some of them are personalities as well. And they're just putting themselves first and standing by their relationships in the business. So I know some cool people to put on my songs.
Cosign is in studio tonight. Kid who from Chicago who is half of the Interns, which is a great Grammy-nominated multi-platinum music producing team. Also hosts his own show on Apple Beats, and he's the co-host of the popular talk show BET's Man Cave. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back. Cosign in studio. Stay with us. Welcome back to Download here on 720 WGN. I am Justin Kaufman in studio Cosign, one half of the famed music producing duo, The Interns, also host on Apple Beats and a co-host of the popular show BET's Man Cave. How'd you get on BET's Man Cave? This is the first season.
I have a lot of jobs.
You have a lot of jobs, but this is...
Because I'm Hispanic. You got to understand, my mom is from Panama. Mi padre de Guatemala. You know, so I'm first generation American here. So we're taught to hustle. You know, my mom, everybody, my family. Shout out to the Panamanians. Viva Panama. So shout out to the Panamanians that are listening. My family to Guatemala, my family there, my dad. Yeah, we just have a different type of work ethic, you know, and I have a son. He's 8. So daddy got to work.
He's got to work.
Daddy
right?
got to work. Okay.
But television is different than talked about, you know, the fact that you are both a producer and now a personality. You like to put your name on things. Obviously, getting in front of the mic for Apple Beats. But getting in front of the camera is a whole different thing.
Oh, new ballgame. Well, first of all, I'm up at 4:15, 4:30. And that burns. Like Usher song, Let It Burn. It hurts. It's like when you sign a contract to do a TV show, you don't think about 4:15. You just like, oh, okay, I'm about to turn up. They're going to see me. That 4:15 makes everything real, you know. And I try to just, you know, get some breakfast, shower, get my head in the game. I might listen to motivation. I might get some T.D. Jakes in there, some Dr. Miles Monroe. You know what I mean? I'm trying to just mentally, I'm looking over the show. I'm talking to some of my closest friends so I don't sound like an idiot. You know what I mean? I'm asking them about last week. I overthink the whole thing.
You do?
The whole time. Yeah.
How similar is the experience of what you do with the music and what you do with television? I mean, obviously, it's different scripts and they're not the same genre, but how similar is your approach to it?
You know what it is? So I've worked with some of the craziest names in the business, and I always wonder what their life was like after I give them the song. I know what it is when we made it in the studio, but I don't know what it is to perform it in the arena, to have people, you know, cover it. I don't know what that feeling is. So I kind of feel like the youngest in an old man boy band group. I feel like the Michael Jackson of the Man Cave. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
And so I'm just like,
we've all been there, right?
Yeah, I'm channeling my Chicago soul with my inner Michael Jackson, and I'm having a great time. You know what I'm saying?
You said in a recent tweet about 2018. You said so far the best part about 2018 is I'm learning how to be a businessman. What do you mean?
Oh yeah. I never cared about the money like that. It was all about making the music, and I feel like producers got paid too much anyway. You know what I mean? Like, you're going to pay me all of it? I made this beat in 45 minutes. What are you going to, that's five figures. Why would, I've been doing this the whole time. So I never cared about that. And then when I was younger, my mom passed away, I got an inheritance. I didn't care, man. That's my mom. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So by only focusing on the music, I got really good. But then I got really broke, too. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, hey, buddy. You know what I mean? You got to have some balance in your life, kid. You can't just be rock star the whole time. And then I talked to my brother in Houston, right? My brother from another mother. His name is Easy. And he was like, you know, I just don't understand these rappers, man. Because 50 Cent always say, you can't never be too busy to count the money. How you too busy to count the money, dog? That don't make no... You know, if I was you, dog. And I just listened to that all day. And I just, you know, I switch it up. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I switch up how I move. You know, and that's what the TED Talk Rewrite Your Life was all about. Just like, switch it up. You're going to run into some walls, and that's okay.
How important is it to have gone through Columbia College, to have the opportunity to teach there, but also to have a concentration in music business, entrepreneurship, to understand the business? How important is that for a music producer?
It's everything. Because you're choosing this livelihood instead of going to corporate. You know, you're choosing to follow your dreams and make music from your heart instead of checking in. You know, a lot of my homies, they say stuff like I'm handcuffed to the desk, dog. I wish I was you because I'm handcuffed to the desk. You know what I'm saying? Right. So all of the benefits and the insurance and the investments that come with being on the inside, you got to create that for yourself. And that takes time outside of the studio. So you got to put your song that's running through your head all day, put that on hold and go take care of your business. That's why I'm so big on education. Go to school. Teach yourself that you have the discipline to sit down and just do other things outside of your dream, because that's an important aspect to it.
Because it's an artist lifestyle, because there's a lot of creativity that goes in, there are many people who won't associate what you do as a music producer with being a startup, being a business person, being an entrepreneur. You're an artist. Mm-hmm. But in your case, you know, the same things apply. And I think about how you approach risk, how you approach, like you just said, how make sure that you're thinking about money and what's next, thinking about education. What lessons have you learned along the way as a young producer, is now a multi-platinum producer? What lessons have you had to learn as a young businessman about this industry?
I went broke, sir. That's not a game, man. Hey, look, that flight you want to take, that car you want to buy, you can't afford it, multi-platinum guy. So now what? You know what I'm saying? And, you know, sometimes that's just necessary for people that are hard-headed. You got to learn. Your ass is going to learn one way or another. And when you learn the right way, like my family say something like, cocaron. I get a cocaron. That's like a straight knock on the head. You get that good knock on the head? You know, and that was like a wake-up call. And then you got to have your outside motivation. I'm a father. So, you know, it can't just be about the music. It just can't. That's not a balanced lifestyle.
Right.
You know, and once I realized the importance of that, and that's where, like, the artistry came from, because now it's on my terms. It's on my terms now. You know what I'm saying?
As you get bigger and bigger, and it's hard to conceive that because it feels like you're at the top right now. But as a producer and you get more and more credits to your name and more television opportunities and personality opportunities, do you have a plan? Do you think of it like a business plan? Do you say, here's my 10, here's my 15, here's where I want to be, here's where Cosign wants to be when I'm 50 years old?
You just hear what you said out of your mouth? Do you have a plan? Sir. Sir.
Share your plan.
Oh, my goodness. You know what poor planning leads up to? And you know what? And that was the part of the lesson of going up the ladder. You know what I'm saying? What happens when you don't plan? What happens when you're not ready? What happens when you put out a song that everybody loves? Oh, my God, this is it. This is the number one song. And you didn't have anything. You weren't even expecting for everybody to give it a 10. So that is lethal to the career. That's like, that's the guts. That's that Ricky. You know what I'm saying? That's like, oh, my God. So once you learn these lessons, man, it's all about, that's the fun part.
Right.
Let's brainstorm. Let's all go to the studio. I'm going to play you 100 songs unreleased that are banging. Let's figure out which one we should release first. Let's figure out what we're going to release second. Let's figure out what we're going to shoot the video to first. Let's figure out what, that's the fun part.
Right.
Because I've done the work. My partner and I, we really work. So we got my sister to tell you, she's like, when are we going to put out the Sam Dew history song? I love that song. You haven't put it out. It's been 4 years. I just don't want to hear her say that no more. I want her songs to be number one on Billboard. What are you talking about? She loves that song. Let's get her a plaque for it. You know what I'm saying?
For you to be a kid from the Chicago area, to have gone to Columbia College. You obviously pay attention to what's happening in Chicago when it comes to hip-hop here.
Of course.
This has been a tremendous decade for music. Do you represent Chicago? Do you, when you were in out to in L.A., fullest. Do you call yourself a Chicagoan?
I represent Chicago, and I'm not even all the way from Chicago like that. So, like, I'm from Broadview, Maywood. You know what I mean? I graduated from Columbia College, Chicago. I got homies on the south side and the west side, but I'm kind of a west. I went to St. Joe, so technically, when I get around my super Chicago friends, they'd be like, fam, you ain't from. I'd be like, don't do that. Don't do that, because in L.A. they call me Mr. Chicago. So don't take away, you know what I'm saying? Look at all the artists. Come on, man. Do I have the list? No, do I got to talk about Chance? Yay.
What do you think it is? Why do you think it is right now? Why do you think it is, as someone who is one of the at the forefront of the music, why is it that Chicago has such success?
Because of the town. This is a soulful city, baby. And it's not all easy. So if you can make it out of the Chicago Rilla, if you can make it out of the Go, you are prepared. This is, you know, there's certain universities that you come out of and it's like, oh, wow, wait, you went to Harvard? Oh, you from the Chi? The same, they got a whole series called what? The Chi. You know what I'm saying? Right. So once you travel around the world and you that's a specific energy that you can give the world and share with the world. That easy, making it out of that uneasy. My parents were immigrants, man. Then they traveled to this country. So, you know, they made me appreciate things on a different level. Look, man, we used to cut up the Snicker bar into five pieces and share my fire. But you an only child eating crab legs, boy. What's wrong with you? You know what I'm saying? Like, sorry, Mom. I'm going to go to my room for a second.
In studio tonight, Cosine. Cosine is a music producer, radio host, television personality, the pride of St. Joe's, Broadview, Maywood area. You can, it's just wrapped up the BET's Man Cave, which you're a co-host and moderator on. You can find that stuff online, of course. And, of course, Cosine, part of the producing duo, the interns, and who has produced multi-platinum records and songs throughout pop music right now. A pleasure to meet you, man, and thank you so much for coming and being my guest. I appreciate
it. Man, thanks, Justin. This is extra fancy. I've never done an interview with this many cameras. So I tried to have a good time, but I'm not gonna lie, it's a lot of cameras. These lights are really nice, really bright. I don't know if my forehead's shining. You know, a man cave, they give us a little powder before they
throw
us out.
No powder on the download, right?
This is real raw. This is raw.
This is web streaming the shot.
Hold on, man. Let me doubt myself. That's why I needed you, sir. You know, but thank you so much for your time, Justin, man. I really had a blast, and I was excited about this one.
It's time for Swap Meet. Oh, yeah, here we go. Oh, another man's junk is another man's treasure, like a gold tape measure. When you were a kid and your fingers in your nose, today you're a picker. Oh, it could be comic books or silverware. As long as it's old, has no mold, there's value there. It's time for Swap Meet with Justin Kaufman.
And Greg Flam.
Here we are.
Here we are. It is time for the Swap Meet here on 720 WGN, 312-981-7200. This, of course, our Wednesday night feature, where if you got some collectibles, some memorabilia, some things you may say to yourself, I know this is worth something. Now's the time to call, and Greg will tell you if it's true. It's probably not.
But you might win a pizza.
You might win a pizza. That's the new wrinkle. I've got a Lou Malnati's pizza to give away tonight for the best brag. And we've had some really good brags.
Yeah.
We had the vanilla ice t-shirt that was signed Word to Your Mother.
Mm-hmm.
Classic. Classic ice.
Yep.
That's one. We had the cufflinks from Dan Rostenkowski.
Yep.
So good. So good.
Yeah, that was fun. And Stephen Gary video. Yeah.
Stephen Gary video.
And what was the first one? Jody Davis pin?
Oh, yeah.
What was that?
We had a Jody Davis. Was it a pin or what? Well, yeah. Something. Anything Jody Davis is going to win in my book.
Right.
Greg Flam, of course, can be found on Facebook and Twitter at DuPage Picker. And he is in studio every Wednesday. Good to see you, bud.
Good to be here.
All right, so thanks for coming down.
It's not a problem. Can we dedicate the show off the bat to all the people who have been planning for their garage sales and just have everything set up in their garage waiting to lift the door on a 70-degree day? So, keep the faith. It's coming. And I'll be there.
Someday in June, it's coming. Right? That's when the garage sale season
And hopefully it will last into January. There'll be a 70-degree day in January.
That would be nice.
Yeah.
All right. So, of course, this week we were hoping there'd be more garage sales, but the weather's just been putrid. Yeah. But of course, we heard the news that Carson's and other department stores are going under. So maybe we'll see a run a little bit on some Carson stuff. I don't know what Carson had a brand, did they?
Attached to it. I'm sure they did.
Yeah. So,
but, yeah.
And, okay, just stories of buying stuff.
Yeah,
from
it's
Carson's.
Called retail arbitrage is what's going on there. Everyone buying low, selling high. So we'll see what they put on clearance, and we'll see what Toys R Us. I think, you know, it's got to get a little bit lower for me to get into Toys R Us, I think.
Yeah.
Still a little.
I love how the nostalgia normal. Of Toys R Us, and again, don't get me wrong, I think it's great, the nostalgia of it. But then I'm also like, yeah, the last time I was in a Toys R Us, I'm like, yeah, this
exactly.
Is,
when
it's
was
time
the last
to go,
time?
Right?
Yep.
And the one thing I will say, though, when we had our son who's 10 years ago, Babies R Us, that place was a go-to. I didn't realize that was part of the bankruptcy as well. There will not be, there's no more Babies R Us.
Yep.
That was a good place. You can get like some real used cribs in the back. Right. You go in the back carpeted
way
area
back,
of the Babies
yeah.
R Us, you can get the used cribs.
Yep.
Real nice.
Yep.
All right, 312-981-7200. What do you want to brag about? But let's start. What do you want to brag about? What'd you bring, Greg?
Well, in honor of Record Store Day this weekend, I brought some records. And nothing crazy, but this Herb Alpert, this is kind of an iconic record.
No big
it's not worth a lot,
on
but
the, download.
Yeah.
He came on, yeah.
Oh, yeah, Herb Albert, yeah. But this, recently, like a week ago, they showed the model, you know, what she's currently, she's still living great, and they had her on Facebook, one of the...
This is where she's in the whipped cream and
yeah,
other
it's
delights.
The whipped cream, Herb Albert, I guess this
she's,
is called
she's
Whipped Cream and Other Delights, but it's a very iconic, you know, album cover.
Huh.
So anyway, you know, probably
what
12
that, bucks. 12
bucks? 12, 15 maybe for that in good shape. This one's a little bit more. This is about a $35 record, and it's the Sounds of Sebring 1958, and it's actually like a rebroadcast of a race. And what makes this album and the album cover worth more is it's got Ferrari all over the signage there.
Yeah.
That alone, you know, makes the record you know, more
worth it.
Yeah, because the content or the audio content is nothing to brag about.
I was just talking to my mom, and she said that she sent all of her LPs, all her records, by FedEx to my brother in California.
Oh,
because my brother is an audiophile type, and he's going to put it on the. He says they play great. And I'm like, wait a second. I feel like after this segment, I need to get in there first.
Yeah,
see what's possible to get up on the eBay. Before you give it to the little brother out in California so he can just spin an old white album for fun. You know?
Right.
Not, come on.
Yeah, you should have got in there first.
Should have. What else you got?
Let's see, some old Commodore 64 and Atari computer software. And believe it or not, people are still looking for it. Obviously, it's not made anymore. Probably about 10 bucks a piece. I got your Paperboy, your Dig Dug. But I came across a whole stack of it at an estate sale in perfect condition, and so that's pretty cool. And then the dud, or what turned out to be the dud of the week, is the O.J. Simpson comic book. And, you know, you come across something like this, and you're thinking, oh, man, this has got to be 15, 20
bucks.
There he
is, the Buffalo Bills carrying the ball. Is it just like a sports legends comic book about him being a running back?
Right, a novelty comic book, and, you know, turns out it's only worth like $3. So that was kind of disappointing. I didn't pay, I didn't pay that much for it anyway, but... Yeah. Anyway, so yeah, that's that, but I'd like to hear what the people have.
All right,
so,
let's see. Let's start with Jim, and then we'll take our first break. Jim, what do you want to brag about?
I got old Beatle memorabilia. I got individual colored pictures, and then I got the group picture, and I also got little tiny pins, and I got a one-by-one little – it's a leather case. And you open it up, and it's all little tiny black and white pictures. I think that would be worth something.
Wow. Yeah, I'd have to, if you could text in a picture, but if they're like trading card size, are the pictures, is that what you're talking about?
No, the picture, I've got trading cards, black and white and color. Grandma threw 3 feet of them away.
Oh, Grandma!
And
the black and white ones, honestly, they're not worth that much. You're probably looking at $2-3 a piece.
But these are colored. They're 5x10s.
Okay, right.
And from what I heard, they're rare. You can get the repos, but these are the originals.
Sure. Yeah, the larger ones, I don't have experience with those, but I'm just letting people know what the trading card says.
I want to know, what's your favorite Beatles song? What's a guy who's doing all this collectibles? Mm-hmm. What Beatles era are you repping?
I'll hit anything. You take the start, the pop, just such loving songs. You go... to let it be, listen to them, you know, fight at each other, go to the rooftop. I can remember back in the 80s, 90s, I used to drink a six-pack of beer, watch the movie, drive my motorcycle out to Campden Hill,
all right,
sit up in the forest reserve with another six-pack, and I won't tell you what else.
Right, come together, right?
Yeah.
In the background, yeah.
No, that's a great story.
Nice.
When I was a kid, I was all about the Red Greatest Hits album, and then but now I have to listen like everything after Rubber Soul, you know, after that. I can't even listen to the early stuff now. Listen to it so much as a kid.
I just got an image of Jim up on the mountaintop
with
his motorcycle and that fur coat that John Lennon wears, and then
the fringe
on the rooftop.
Yep.
All right.
Nice.
312-981-7200. You got to call in now. People are lining up. We also got texts as well. DuPage Picker at DuPage Picker's Greg Flam on Facebook and Twitter. We'll take our first break. We'll come back. Swap Meet. Stay with us. Download 720 WGN. Justin Kaufman here with Greg Flam at DuPage Picker. It's a swap meet. 312-981-7200. What do you want to brag about tonight? Best Brag Gets a Pizza. I'm very excited about this new wrinkle to the swap meet. I feel like that's really, it's just the energy. It's just up.
Right. And it is open to anyone. You don't have to have like a $5,000 item, you know, as you see.
Right. And it can be interpretive as well. 224 texts in saying, I have my sixth grade pre-algebra test from 20 years ago. A+.
We need a little more backstory on that.
I don't know. I'd buy it. It'd be a $5
buy. All right.
Just so I could put it on my wall and be like, look, take a look. Look how good I was in pre-algebra, because I was not.
Yeah, I was not
my
either.
Thing. All right, let's go to Casey. Casey, what do you want to brag about, Casey?
Okay, hey, guys. Listen, here's what I got. 1982, the Who did one of those 75 farewell tours.
Yeah.
My wife was a therapeutic masseuse. Roger Daltrey was known for having a bad back, and also known for not tipping. So what he did was, well, it's true. What he did was, as a tip for her, took out a cassette of Who's Next, wrote inside the cover, you know, love you, and autographed it for her.
Wow.
I mean, at that point, she should have been like, I mean, I'd rather have the cash.
Believe me, I agree. I agree.
Wow.
Also, I just love
that he's got the cassette on him. He's
pocket.
Like, oh, that was a great massage. Let me put my shirt on. You know what you might like? Take a look at this. I've got a cassette in my pocket.
That's why his back was bad. He had all those cassettes in his jacket.
And a cassette that was halfway played through.
Nice.
You really want to get funny through
with
it. That's great.
Vain much?
What would that be worth? What would a cassette of...
I can't find a cassette, but a record signed by Daltrey is in the 100 to 300 range.
That's a good
and
tip.
And that's
you
who's
said
next.
Wait on it, right?
Yeah, that's who's next.
Okay.
So,
okay.
Yeah.
Let me sneak a second one in.
All right.
Also, what I got is, you guys on the radio do press photos, whatever.
Sure.
You know, you have a kit. I have one also from K-Rock of Howard Stern, signed by him, black and white.
Awesome.
From back in the day. Is that...
So it's a black and white headshot of him?
Yes. Yeah. It's a K-Rock.
Yeah.
It says K-Rock on the bottom, black and white. It's him with the long... bad Louis the 14th hair.
Yeah,
that's my favorite hair. Howard Stern, when he's got that, he's rocking that long curly Louis the 14th hair.
Yeah, he was funny then. Yeah.
He's still funny.
I'm not finding anything like that online right now. I think it's just you know, eBay only goes back about 3 or 4 months.
Casey, you remember when Howard came to Chicago? You remember that? Then he did that press conference and he railed on all the guys that were on the loop at the time.
Yeah, I know. What are you, believe me, why
so
do you
funny.
Think I don't listen no more?
I just thought that was funny. I just thought, I feel like Chicago just missed it. I was young at the time, so I got caught up in it too. But thinking back, what a great stunt to come in and just rip on all the people that are there. That's totally a bit. He's doing a bit.
Yep.
Anyway, great.
Oh, yeah, he was hilarious once. We all did get caught up in it. He was funny once, and now it's like kind of sad. It's like an old lady with bad hair.
Thanks, Casey.
Okay. Have a Thank good you. Night, guys.
I don't know, man. I think Howard's funnier than ever right now. He always is. He's got a good supporting cast. But mm-hmm. All right. Okay, let's go to... let's see, what do we got? Let's go with Kathy. Kathy, welcome to the Swap Meet. What do you want to brag about?
Hi. I have a set of four Beetle bobbleheads.
Wow.
And on the bottom, it says Gong Show.
Okay.
Gong Show.
On the bottom. Hmm. Yeah, and they're from the 70s.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And I'm just wondering
We're looking at
anything.
Up.
Yeah,
the Gong Show's throwing me for a loop.
I'll do the. I should do more.
Yeah, Gong Show. I don't know what.
Yeah, I need to do more computer-like sounds when Greg is right. looking for stuff. So I'm like boop boop be doop boop doop
boop doop. Okay, well, let me ask you this: you said they were in the boxes?
They're not in boxes. Okay. No. They are from the 70s. Sure. So.
Okay.
That I know.
All right.
But they're not in a box. They may have been in a box at one time.
Yeah, no problem.
But
yeah. Right. It's too bad because if you had the earlier ones, the 60s, a set of four of those are going upwards of $6,000.
What?
I'm trying to find a 70s, see what those are going for. If you're sure they're the 70s.
That's what the 60s like. You get them for $40,000. 70s, yeah. It's $15.
Yeah, that's what I'm afraid I'm going to tell her. Let's see.
What's your go-to,
upwards
Kathy?
Upwards of 1,000. Probably.
What's your go-to Beatles song?
If you were up on a mountaintop.
What's my favorite Beatles
yeah,
song?
Yeah, what's your go-to? Just give me one.
She said. Any of them. You know, I collect the Beatles.
No, I like it. It's a good selection.
I had called earlier with the posters, but they were reproductions.
Right. Yeah, that's a problem.
All right, thanks, Kathy.
Yeah.
Have a good night.
Thanks for calling, Kathy.
Okay.
I thought she'd say, and I love her. I'm just looking for an excuse to, I'll give
you
everything.
You only have a few worked up.
What I do.
Nice.
To dance with me. So much, man.
Well, hopefully she could check the dates. Hopefully they're 60s and not 70s, so she has something better.
All right, 312-981-7200. My favorite. I mean, we're getting some really good ones tonight. This is so good. 224 sends in a picture and says, I hear these are worth something. This is a late 2013 edition. Good for hugging. And it's a picture of her kid. Or his kid. Oh, that's so great.
The heartstring.
And the best part is the picture has a radio. You could see the radio in the background, and they say they're playing WGN.
Nice, very
and
nice.
The baby is sleeping.
Oh.
Get that kid up.
That's right.
Second half of the swap meet's up next. There might be some good stuff.
That's right.
You might be interested. 312-981-7200. Greg Flam is here. Justin Kaufman, it's the download. It's the swap meet. Stay with us.
It's time for swap meet. Oh, yeah, here we go. Oh, another man's junk is another man's treasure. Like a gold tape measure. When you were a kid and your fingers in your nose, today you're a picker. Oh, it could be comic books or silverware. As long as it's old. Has no mold, there's value there. It's time for Swap Meet with Justin Kaufman
and Greg Flam. Second half of the Swap Meet. 312-981-7200. What do you want to brag about? Got some memorabilia, you got some collectibles, got a favorite Beatles song?
There we go.
I'll sing it. I'm in a singing mood. It's a way to counteract these terrible weather. Just get some real first class.
That could be your next segment, though. Like Spin Magazine used to do the Desert Island Disc.
Right.
And you could do, like, if you're on a hilltop with a six-pack, what Beatles song are you going to play? What's your go-to Beatles song?
Me and Jim are up on the mountaintop.
Yep.
And with the hilltop, and we've got our motorcycle and our six-pack of Strohs.
Yep.
What song we'll be singing together?
Go-to Beatles songs for pizza.
That's right. Joe, why don't you start us off second half? Joe, what do you want to brag about?
Hey, welcome back after your, what, two-week hiatus?
Yeah, Ray, good to see you, buddy. How are you?
Good enough.
Yeah.
Hey, listen, my man cave's getting a little bit sparse for real collectibles and, you know, notables.
Okay, all right.
So I asked a lady to go into her lady cave.
Okay.
And lo and behold, she came out with a couple, three gifts that her mom gave her. So we're in our 70s. So this has to be, I don't know, 60, 70 plus years old. Porcelain dolls, roughly 18 inches tall, all three.
Okay.
One is Laurel and Hardy. Laurel has the classic bowler hat on that
awesome.
Tips, if you will.
Yeah, that's mm-hmm. awesome.
And Charlie Chapman, complete with cane that he can twirl.
Okay.
Now, it says porcelain dolls on the long rectangular boxes with a plastic visibility screen. You can see the faces. But there's no other designation other than saying porcelain dolls. The boxes have been abraded to the point where I don't know where it was made, who made it, blah, blah, blah. And normally I like to have more detail for you guys.
Yeah.
Wow, that's awesome. But still, that's so awesome.
They're cool.
Yeah. Just Charlie Chaplin and Laurel and Hardy. That's awesome.
Yeah. And they're remarkably lifelike. You know, even to the rouge on the face, which they used back in those days in the pictures.
Okay.
Yeah. Not rouge, but the coloration, if you will.
Are the outfits they're wearing color, or are they just black, like black clothing, or are they like browns and blues?
A little combination. Okay. Hardy is all black.
Okay.
And the other ones are a little bit variation.
Okay. Yeah, I'm trying to find them for you.
Wow. Okay. That's cool.
I mean,
They are collectible, put it that way.
And you had the boxes, you said?
Yes. They're kind of, you know, a little bit abraded, if you will.
Yeah. And any other markings on the box that might help?
No, that's, you know, as I said, I normally like to have more detail for you so you can properly identify it, but not, they're lacking in this case.
Yeah, there seems to be three different dolls.
Wow.
And the high end is 75 to 1,000. And the Hardy one seems to get 200 consistently. But
so
it might not be the one you have, though. I'm just saying the three different kinds I'm finding.
Anything on the Chapman?
The Chaplin was the 75 to 1,000. Laurel and Hardy were about 200 each. Yeah.
Wow, geez.
Gotcha.
I will say this, Joe.
Yep.
You've entered into the realm of possible pizza.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's pretty cool. Possible. I can't give it away too early, but I feel like this is a good one.
I feel like a contender.
Yep,
that's
right.
He went into the
technically
she
shared. Yeah, I was going to technically your wife is a contender.
Right.
True. You mean I have to share it with her?
Oh.
Yep, well, you got to half it.
Sharing is caring.
She's kind of blah. She just likes pepperoni. I like the whole shebang.
Well, there you go. You can do half pepperoni and the whole shebang. All right. I'm not giving it to you yet, Joe. I don't know. All right. Thanks, Joe.
Thanks for calling again.
Thanks, guys. Adios.
Talking to you, man. All right, let's keep going. Diane, what do you want to brag about, Diane?
Oh, you guys are going to love this one.
All right.
Okay.
When I was probably 10 or 11, my girlfriend and I used to ride our bikes into town, and we would get baseball cards, Topps baseball cards.
Mm.
So I have the whole set of Topps baseball cards from 1965 and 66.
Wow.
And actually, we just went for the gum, and I had the cavities to show.
All right.
To prove it. We got it. But I've got all these Topps baseball cards.
Isn't that good? That is good, right? 65, 66.
Oh, yeah. Those are the years you want. Yeah. Pre-70s.
No good,
yeah.
But 60s, I would think a full set would actually get the job done here.
Yeah. So here's some questions. You did not put them in the spokes of your bicycle, first off, right? Tell me did that.
No,
okay.
No.
Okay, good. I looked them up. 60. Sorry.
They've been in an equally old Sears shoebox.
All right, good.
With a rubber around it.
Okay, so in that condition, that would be called ungraded. You're probably looking at an approximate $1,000 for the complete set of either year, 65 or 66. Now, the ones that have been graded are going between $2,000 and $3,000 that have been graded. So it's something you might want to look into, whether it's worth spending the money to get them graded. I would maybe try to take them to like a sports shop and just get a couple opinions just to see if you should get them graded or not.
Okay,
but if there's folds and stuff like that, then you probably might not want to do that.
No, they're in perfect condition. They rarely have seen the light of day.
Good.
And I don't just have one of each player. I might have four or five of each guy.
Okay, but you think you have a complete set. That's the important thing is you got to have at least one complete set. If you have extras, that's fine.
Yep, I do.
Good,
I do.
That's awesome, Diane. And think how much it'd be worth if you would have kept the gum in there.
Yep.
Oh, my gosh.
You would save so much money. Your dentist would have...
Dental bills alone.
Right.
Awesome. Thanks, Diane. That's
good
a good
call.
One.
Thank
I
you.
Like that.
Well, thank you very much.
Oh, thanks for the call.
Thank you.
All right. 312-981-7200. Let's keep going here. Let's do some of the let's do some of the texts. Let me get through here. Did we find anything on the Luray turquoise cholite pot?
No, I'm not finding anything.
Forget it. It could be a POWMIA. That's 815.
Okay.
POWMIA from Vietnam War bracelet engraved with a soldier's name from Karen. Wow.
From what I could tell, they're $40 to $100 what they're going for, but they made three or four different kinds, so obviously you want to do some more diligence on that.
All right. That's a good one. 847's got the Sports Illustrated with Mike Tyson on the cover, biting Evander Holyfield's ear off, practically mint condition.
Wow.
So that's the one where I remember the one I read about Mike Tyson where it was the article in Sports Illustrated that was all about how he grew up and the stories in Brooklyn or wherever he grew up in New York and gang initiation, watching people die. And it was I was like a 10-year-old kid. You know, it was like, oh, Mike Tyson's video game. Let me read this. Yeah. I was like, that was an eye-opener on the world around us. But I don't think it was that one because I think it was when Tyson was on top. But it could have been that one.
Wow.
Just biting his ear off. Yikes.
Looks like at the most they're getting, with a certificate of authenticity, all that, you know, $95. Probably on
that's
average
pretty good.
50 to 60.
That's
on
pretty
low
good. 224 says, when going through stuff in our basement, we found our box of old weed pipes and bongs.
All right.
Lots of decorative and all shapes, colors, and sizes. Can't wait for recreational legalization so these two old goats can pretend we're back in the 60s. This time we don't have to go all the way down to Old Town just to... just to the shelf in our guest room to pick one out. It's too bad Old Town has changed anyway. That's
right.
Awesome.
That is.
That's just awesome for the like the mental imagery of this this person and their significant other hanging out with their long beards and bell bottom pants.
Yep.
Hey man, I'm gonna get another glass bowl. Yeah, let's do it, buddy.
Nice. I'm sure there's a market for that. So hold on to those and hopefully.
Yeah,
legalization and all that, and will come to pass.
Yeah, hopefully, they've held on to them for decades. I think they'll be okay, right?
Yep,
I love it. 312-981-7200. Let's go to Nancy. Nancy, what do you want to brag about, Nancy?
Well, I have Johnson Brothers Bone China dinnerware, and it's octagonally shaped, and it has a kind of an oriental motif around the edge.
Wow.
But the thing that is most curious about this set, and it's a set for 12. Is that the creamer, which was broken, and this set is maybe about 150 years old.
Wow.
The creamer was broken in several places, and it was stapled back together.
What?
Wow. Yeah, the staples are crimped on the inside, and it becomes the topic of discussion at every dinner party, but it is stapled, and it does not leak at all.
Wow.
Wow.
That is.
I have to admit, Nancy, when I read the text that said Nancy Johnson Brothers porcelain dinnerware, I thought it was Brothers Johnson, the funk band from the
70s,
late 70s.
Right.
I was like, they had dinnerware? The guys who did
Heat Wave, right?
Roller skating?
Oh, yeah.
Did dinnerware? Sorry.
No, I'm wondering if it's worth anything just as a curiosity.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Just various sets are between 300 and 600, but I'm gonna try just putting staple in there just for the heck of it and see if anyone else had that.
We thought that maybe they heated up the staples so hot that they glided through, but how did they crimp them on the inside? So that just kind of shat that.
Wow, yeah,
we
I'm
have
not
no
finding
idea.
Anything with a staple in it, but yeah, I'm sure it's probably gonna be higher than 600, what you have, so.
Sure.
You know, do some more research, and if you want to send in a picture, and I'll try to help you with that as well.
Love it. Thanks,
sure,
Nancy.
I will.
Thanks for calling.
Thank you.
Bye.
Didn't Brothers Johnson do, I'll be good to you, good to you, good
sounds
to
familiar.
You? That was the song that Chaka Khan redid with Quincy Jones in the mid-80s, but that was an original. Yeah. Oh, Pete, you nailed it.
Beats by Zim.
Beats by Zim. Oh, this would be my karaoke jam. Look, here we go.
Okay, cool.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for coming out tonight. I'm going to sing an old song from the 70s. Are we ready? Here we go. I don't have the lyrics all the way, but here we go. I want to know. Yeah. Baby, just how you feel.
Flashbacks of Disco Wheels on 59th Street.
I want to know. Oh, man, I could do this one all night.
Awesome.
Like I said, the next hour. Oh, Patty's show starts at 11. Yeah. We're done. 312-981-7200. That is a great song, by the way.
It is.
And I've learned, too, with karaoke. We do karaoke night at the house on Saturday nights. Now, YouTube's so easy on the TV. You can just go right to the karaoke tracks. And some of the go-to, the standbys that I've had in my life, I try to do them again, and I'm getting older, and the voice, I blame it on talk radio. I can't get there anymore. So you know what I do now? And Pete, this for you as well. I just go everything country. Like, I treat every song I do, whatever register, whatever it is, as if I'm a Waylon Jennings. I just come in with us like this, and it works every time. I can sing a Miley Cyrus jam. I could do that one, Brothers Johnson. I could do any Chaka Khan song and be like, Chaka Khan, Chaka Khan. You just keep the low register and it works. Now you're a little bit, you know, you can bring a little country.
I'm proud of you for not going the auto-tune route. I just want to say that right now.
That's the OG auto-tune. Right. Just do everything country. 312-981-7200. It's the downloaded swap meet. We'll take our last break here. We'll come back and we'll get to everybody's on the line and the texts that are coming in. Stay with us. It's downloaded swap meet. Wrapping up here, Greg Flam at 2PagePicker, both on Facebook and Twitter. Let's go to Beverly. Beverly, what do you want to brag about, Beverly?
Well, I've got a 1948 Wurlitzer jukebox. My aunt had it with a tavern off of 294 by between Racine and Kenosha. And when I was a kid, my dad used to take me there. I have it in my basement. And it plays the original big records of 78. At the time we got it, they said we could put it into a CD, but we never did. So, and when my grandkids come over, we all put the nickel and the dimes in and play, and they all have, hey, you have a good time.
Oh,
the
that's record, awesome.
I know. The records alone on it are old.
Sure.
I have some Caruso records. It's unbelievable.
That's so cool.
Yep.
It is very, very nice.
That's an awesome brag, Beverly. That's, I don't know. I mean, I'm sure it's worth a lot of money, too, but just the idea that you're able to get that from
just an average bar
entertain the family, and it's great.
Average condition, they're like 1800. This isn't like fully restored, you know, just average, maybe barely working. You're 1800.
No, it's working.
Yeah, so you're more than that. Then you're probably in the 3000 range, but definitely have that checked out.
There was a
guest on WGN recently. They're in Lyle. They fix jukeboxes. They were recently on someone's show. I can't remember.
Well, they had
Rick Pearson, I think.
The fella right around the corner refinishes them, and they have a wood that's a curved wood.
Right.
And that wood came, I think he said, from Tennessee. It took a year to get that wood to, you know, actually make it. But otherwise, curved, it worked perfectly, you know.
Love it. Yeah. Love it.
Well, look into getting it fixed.
Beverly, that was awesome. Thank you so much for. I love that. I love the sentimentality.
Yep.
Thank you for calling in. All right, let's go to Anita. Anita, what do you got, Anita? What do you want to brag about?
Hi. Well, I didn't know it was a bragging show. I just turned it on and I was driving home. But I do have a doll that I got when my mother in California, she saved everything. And I took this home. It's the Cassius Clay ball doll with the boxing outfit. And it's just Cassius Clay. So I figure it must be worth something.
Yeah, all right.
The packaging and everything, well, you know.
Wow.
I like that. I like that a lot. That's also like a very specific, they're making dolls for Cassius Clay.
Yeah.
That they must have been so mad when he made the name change. They're like, oh, come on.
Right.
Yeah, right.
Who's made these dolls?
It's a Barbie size type of doll.
Right. Finding that. I'm finding many other.
In a cardboard packaging.
Right.
And, it's just in the drawer. So I thought, it's probably worth more now than it was a few years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Well, I had the guy who did the bio on Ali was in here and talking about Cassius Clay, because he was a star, but it was after he had the big fight. It was right the day after that he said he's changing his name. So imagine the doll investors are like, no!
Really?
No one thought about the doll investors.
Yeah, right.
All right. Well,
I'm not finding the Cassius Clay one, but there's many Muhammad Ali ones, and they're, you know, upwards of 100 to 300. I would think yours is more because of the name, earlier name. So,
where would you go with that to show somebody the...
You can go to an antique toy shop, or if you want to send me a picture and we can talk back and forth on that, I can help you.
All right, there you go.
Okay.
On Facebook.
Thanks,
Anita. All right, there we go. Another swap meet in the books. Tonight, we're going to give away a Lou Malnati's gift certificate. Lou Malnati's is home of Chicago's best deep dish pizza. Find one of their 40-plus Chicagoland locations or order online at loumalnati's.com. I got to give it to Joe.
Yeah.
Joe calls in all the time, and I appreciate it. I'm always in the zone. I'm always like, let's go to Joe. Joe, what do you want to brag about? It's like, hey, I'm like, oh, I know that voice. But the idea, just the idea in my head that he went to his wife and is like, hey, you're going to need to go up in the attic and go through some stuff.
Yeah, that's
worth it. I'm running out of stuff in my area, so you need to get the boxes down. Well, I'm kind of busy. No, you need to do it now. So, so Joe, you get the pizza tonight. Thanks for playing. Greg Flamm, of course, can be found at DuPage Picker, both on Facebook and Twitter, and he joins us every Wednesday here on the Swap Meet. Greg, have a great week. I hope the weather gets better so we can get some garage sale.
Yeah, better weather. Thanks for having me.